Rickleblog, 5 September 2006. How big is your planet? Part 2. We left the last blog item with the question, what if the company had Waldos, the remote manipulators virtually invented by Heinlein, with the worker connected to them remotely by the internet or other system? If they were sufficiently precise and the communication were fast enough, could he not do his job from home? Yes, he could. A fastball going at 90 miles an hour is traveling at 132 feet per second, or about a baseball bat diameter, in 2 milliseconds. The difference between a home run and a foul ball could be a millisecond or less. This corresponds to the speed of light lag, two-way, of about 90 miles. With realistic commuting distances of 4 to 40 miles, it would seem that even a star slugger could phone it in. Clearly, the speed of light is not an impediment to routine commuting, assuming network latency could be brought under control. Now let's consider the extreme telecommuter, a surgeon at home operating in a remote hospital facility in some benighted nation where few skilled surgeons would be willing to live. An irreducible speed of light lag of, say, 100 milliseconds is probably an eternity when one is wielding a scalpel. Although this cannot even theoretically be overcome, there are probably computer algorithms that can anticipate future movements from Newtonian mechanics and, pushing the technology a bit, the surgeon's brainwaves and muscular tension. Perhaps the lag could be apparently reduced by a significant amount. In that case, even the most demanding tasks could be performed halfway around the planet from the performer, assuming the proper hardware at both ends. As an extreme example, NASA personnel have trained using video delay devices to operate a lunar rover from Earth with a delay of seconds between a steering or braking command and reaction by the vehicle. From my very brief analysis, it would seem that telecommuting is practical for a much larger group than practices it now. It would be an environmental boon and an economic one in certain respects. Imagine a freelance assembly line worker. Once he has the manipulative system in his house, he can work for several employers or even take his lunch break at a different plant 50 miles away if he's keen on making some extra bucks. Of course, this isn't the free-for-all auction of labor it might seem, since he would require very specific training for each plant where he, quote, worked, unquote. There are any number of science fiction books that postulate teleportation and have their characters living anywhere they like, such as in otherwise inaccessible plateaus in the high desert. Telecommuting, enabled by sophisticated manipulators at both ends, would seem to render this scenario at least technically possible. Although, without the teleportation aspect, there won't be opportunities for bored housewives to dally with the pool boy. In fact, social ramifications must be carefully considered. What's the point of having a pristine atmosphere if everyone breathing it is miserable? If this were an academic exercise, it would conclude with a stuffy summary. Thus, it can be seen that, at least for planets the size of the Earth, appropriate investment in telepresence infrastructure can substantially reduce the need for pollution-generating travel on a daily or even less frequent basis. It would also create new economic opportunities for those otherwise constrained to a life circumscribed by a physical area with few employment opportunities. But it's not academic, it's me. Hey, evil airline scum! Take that! A couple of asides. The first, notwithstanding the analysis above, I personally believe that the first half of my dichotomy is more appropriate. Hey, Jack, this is America, and I can do what I want. All of this energy-saving stuff is critical right now because we haven't been smart enough to figure out how to expend energy without potentially dire effects on the economy and on the planet. Eventually, we will. The second, Andy Tobias, in response to my assertion that people in cars all wish they were somewhere else, quote, perhaps, though for some people, I think there's no place they'd sometimes rather be than in their cars between work and home, listening to the CD of a Kiss tribute band, or Jersey Boys, away from the capricious boss, the insane co-workers, the angry customers, the screaming children, and the nagging spouse. Although I would not know about any of that because I work alone, my partner never nags, and our dozen nieces and nephews are an unalloyed joy. To which I responded, only partly in jest, I can't disagree, but you could live at home, work at home, and spend a half hour in your carcoon, trademark, without driving from one to the other. Of course, I meant carcoon in the sense of cocoon, and the notion makes good sense. If you spend all your time at home, then having a space to which to retreat for the reasons Andy suggests would be a boon and probably save lives. It turns out that carcoon, marca registrata, is taken for an automobile storage system. I just hate it when other people steal my ideas before I even think of them. Driving can be enjoyable, especially if all the other drivers are at home in their carcoons. And there's a follow-up from the 28th of September, 2006. There was a nice article in the Wall Street Journal today on the front page of the Marketplace section, entitled Better Virtual Meetings. It discussed in part how improved technology and greater bandwidth allowed companies to forego meetings. One tiny quote, the managers said they avoided 45 trans-Pacific trips. Did I mention, hey, evil airline scum, take that?